Good morning, Peninsula Hope family. I hope you guys are doing well. Please know we miss you guys. We're praying for you. And I know if you guys live in the Bay Area, we have, looks like, another month of sheltering in place. And it's interesting that in this season, I think we've come to that point where anxiety is leading to more a tiredness or a going kind of stir crazy, wanting to get outside. And so we continue to pray that you're all staying well, that you're able to find some creative ways to spend your time. Amen. Today I want to open us up in prayer, and then we're going to be moving on in our sermon series on Acts and covering Acts chapter 4. So let me open us up. Lord Jesus, we just magnify and glorify your name, Lord. I pray for our friends and family everywhere, Lord Jesus, who are just going through this really unprecedented time of living with some uncertainty, Lord, but we know that we have certainty in you. Lord, I pray for those everywhere with needs of all shapes and sizes, Lord Jesus. I pray that as a community, we walk alongside of one another, Lord, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, if you guys are anything like me and you've had more time being at home and maybe more time surfing the internet and watching YouTube, if you've been watching any YouTube videos like myself, you've probably been exposed to some really interesting videos on YouTube. And what's so amazing to me is the broad spectrum of topics and interests that YouTubers have and the interests that the world has, because many of these individuals have huge followings. And one of them, Emily and I were watching, was this guy, and what he does is he chugs or drinks tons of liquids. And what's so interesting about this is that he'll drink like this glass boot full of 20 bottled waters or Gatorades. He drinks them as fast as he can, and then he burps. And he has millions of followers. And Emily right now is laughing because of how crazy this is. And it's interesting, I saw another YouTuber has millions of followers as well, and she paints her nails. And she collects nail polish. She has thousands of nail polishes, and she has millions of followers. And I'm so intrigued and blown away by this. But there are other videos that I am equally amazed and blown away by for a very different reason. And these are videos where we see, for all intents and purposes, very ordinary, average people doing extraordinary things. For example, there was a few videos of individuals just walking through the airport or walking through the train station, and they're stopped and they just start singing. And these individuals are so extraordinary because they sound like professional opera singers or professional musicians. And we see this with people that sing. We also see this with people who play instruments, that they have this extraordinary talent that no one knows and you would never even think about. Sometimes you see that on YouTube with people that do amazing things with art. And they're so unassuming, you would never think that this would be possible. And when we look at the experience of the disciples, you see something similar in their lives. That these individuals who, for all intents and purposes, were average and ordinary, and maybe in the eyes of society at the time, maybe they were below average because of what their career choice was. But yet, they did extraordinary things. Last week, if you watched, if you were able to join us or you watched our sermon online, we were talking about Acts chapter 3 and the first opportunity that the disciples had to fulfill the Great Commission. And we saw Peter and John at the temple, and Peter, in the name of Jesus, healed the lame man. And if you recall, I mentioned that the crowd that was there, they were so amazed by this, and they found themselves in complete wonderment, in awe of what had happened. And we talked about, because of this, they found themselves in this state where they were open to hearing the gospel message. And that's what happened. Peter took that opportunity. He did not miss out. and he started to witness. He started to preach about the things that he saw, that he was part of, as it related to Jesus and the miracles that he performed in his resurrection. And so today we're going to continue talking about that. And what we see is Peter, he continued to preach, and this did not make the religious leaders of the time very happy. They thought, hey, we have killed this Jesus guy, this leader of the Christians. And so why is this continuing? We need to put a stop to this. And so they had Peter and John arrested because it was too late in the afternoon to have them appear before the court. And so we're going to be focusing on the events that happened the next day. And we find this in Acts 4, verses 5 through 20. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and a teacher of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. So were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. And so today I want to focus on what it means to have that extraordinary witness for God. Because just like the disciples and those YouTubers I mentioned, we too, we're ordinary individuals, but we have an opportunity to do something extraordinary. And that is witness to the love of Jesus Christ. So the first thing I'd like to talk about today is a bold response. Because what we saw in that passage is that when Peter and John were questioned, they had a bold response. And the first thing, we've talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit and his effect on our lives, as we see that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit when he spoke. So the Holy Spirit was guiding and leading Peter's words. And what was it exactly that he said? Well, first he proclaimed Christ. And then he called out the Jewish leaders and many that were present on their rejection of Jesus. And then we see that Peter quoted scripture. He quoted Psalm 118, using it to explain who Jesus was. And then Peter goes on to explain that salvation is only found through Jesus. So we see that this is an incredibly bold proclamation. It is an incredibly bold statement when they're questioned. But there's a few things that we have to understand about boldness when we're responding to people. And one, we have to own our own strengths and weaknesses. You know, we may have that temptation to go and call people out on things that they've done, or we may want to give our perspective or advice to them. But if we're not willing to look at our own lives, it's not a very effective witness. We have to have clear priorities. We have to want to love one another. We have to want to see the very best of others and to lead them to Christ. We need to be bold. We have to be willing to speak up. Sometimes we're afraid of what people will say, so we don't say anything. So we need to be willing to speak up. And we have to understand that there is value even in small wins. So we don't always know the effect that we have on people. We don't realize that maybe they did hear us, even though we don't see that in their actions right away. Now, the second thing that we see in this passage is that Peter and John, they acted courageously. Acts 4 and 13, again, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So Peter and John, they didn't let their lack of education, their lack of knowing every theological thing, they didn't let that bother them. They were not afraid of what they lacked or what they did not know. And this astonished the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law. And again, these are ordinary, average guys, but they didn't let that bother them. They didn't let it affect their witness to the crowds. And what's so amazing, again, is that the people, these leaders, they took note that Peter and John had been with Jesus. And there's two incredible things about this. One, it shows that when you spend time with people, it affects you, and it shows that the more time that the disciples spent with Jesus, the more they were changed. And praise God that we can spend time with Jesus as well through prayer, through worship, and through the Word of God by reading the Bible. And the more we do that, the more we start to look, our actions start to look like Jesus's. There should be a big amen going on out there right now. It also shows the depth of Peter and John's courage. Because at that time, anyone that was a known associate of Jesus was thought to be a troublemaker, a rebel. And so their courage was so strong and it was so deep, they were not afraid. I saw this quote and it speaks to being around someone that affects you. It said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So the more time you spend with Jesus, the more your actions will look like his. The next transition that we see here in this passage is that there was a time when Peter and John, they were threatened, but they stood firm and they held their ground. And what we see them doing, the way that they held their ground, was they replied with a spiritual truth. They said, what is right in God's eyes? For us to listen to him or for us to listen to you? But the key to a spiritual reply is knowing who you are responding to. So we need to listen. We need to listen to the people that are asking us questions, and hopefully this helps us better understand where they're coming from. Maybe they're angry. Maybe they're scared. Maybe they've been through some kind of traumatic situation, and that's why they are asking us the questions that they are. We also need to listen to the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit guide our actions and our words. We also see Peter and John, they reply with a spiritual explanation. And I love this. They say, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. You guys have ever been around someone that is so full of passion for a hobby or, maybe it's a profession, it's something they do. If you spend an hour with them, I guarantee you, you're going to hear about what they're most passionate about probably several times. And so when you think about this, what this is telling you about Peter and John, they were so passionate about Jesus, they were so passionate about their faith that they could not help speaking about it. Now ask yourselves, are you so passionate about your own faith in Jesus and his role in your life that if someone spends an hour with you, that you can't help talking about Jesus and what he's done in your life? I hope we all become like that. And the fourth and final thing I want to talk about is that this extraordinary witness by these ordinary men, it changed people's hearts. Acts 4:4 says, but many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. This is making reference to right before Peter and John were thrown into jail. Peter had preached that message. And if you recall, this number is jumping from a little over 100 to over 5,000, and that's not including women and children. So that number is probably over 7,000. Now imagine in a matter of days, this church is blown up to that number. That's incredible. But that's the power that this extraordinary witness had. And we see in Acts 4:21, it says, after further threats, they let them go. This is the religious court, the religious leaders. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. These are individuals that killed Jesus. These are individuals that were so angry with Peter and John. But because of what was happening, because people were believing, they didn't know what to do. And they ended up letting them go. That's a miracle. That's a change of heart. It doesn't mean they believed in Jesus, but it means their actions changed. And I love this. Emily and I were talking about this. So the second part of verse 21 says, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. All the people were praising God. All those present, those people that had become believers, they were all praising God. Not some, not a couple, not most, all the people. That's miraculous. That's incredible. But that's what happens when you have an extraordinary witness of Jesus Christ and the effect he's had on your life. It can affect so many people. And that's why it's so important that we take that from the scripture, that we understand that we need to have a bold response when people ask us, why do you believe in Jesus? What is this Jesus thing? What does it mean to be a Christian? We have to be courageous because there's people out there that want to attack us. There's people there that want to make fun of us. They don't want to believe in Jesus. They want to prove us wrong. We have to be courageous. We cannot be afraid. And when you're challenged by those individuals, you need to hold your ground. You need to reply in spiritual truths. We need to listen to what they have to say to know how to respond and let the Holy Spirit lead you. And if you're willing to do this, if you're willing to have an extraordinary witness, it can change people's hearts. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would become bold witnesses to your love for us, that we would be bold witnesses, Lord, to your sacrifice on the cross and what it means for all of humanity. Lord Jesus, help us to be a bold body of Christ who cannot help but speak about you and how amazing and how wondrous you are. Lord Jesus, I pray for each of us that we would feel that way. Lord, we thank you for the love you have for us. And we pray this all in your name. Amen. We love you guys. I hope you're doing well. Invite your friends and family. Next week, we're celebrating Mother's Day, so we'd love to see more people, more friends and family here joining us. We love you guys. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon. God bless.